Over 14 months, and anti-regime protests are still alive in Bahrain. On Tuesday, May Day demonstrators said the regime has deprived them of their jobs to punish them for taking part in rallies. Concerns are growing over the state of detained activists and a continued crackdown directly supported by Saudi Arabia. But what has enabled the Al Khalifa regime to calmly claim all is well in this tiny Persian Gulf kingdom? I'm Homa Lezgi, and this is News Analysis.
Bahraini protesters once again out in the streets calling for the downfall of the government. May Day has a special appeal for Bahraini protesters. Many of them have lost their jobs only because of demanding more freedom and democracy in the country. Soon after they spilled onto the streets, regime forces used tear gas to disperse them. The regime's repression of the protesters has left scores of people dead. Many Bahrainis have also been detained and are serving their sentences behind bars. Prominent rights activist Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja has been on hunger strike for over 11 weeks now. He's been refusing food to protest the life sentence he received from a military court in June over his role in the revolution. On Monday, the highest court in Bahrain gave in to international pressure and ordered retrial of Khawaja and 20 other activists who were tried alongside him. However, he still remains in detention at a military hospital. In an interview on Tuesday, Khawaja said he will continue his hunger strike. Many are skeptical about the implementation of the court's order.
This decision was not for people of Bahrain. This decision was for the media that get off my back, the government says.
An independent probe last year found regime forces guilty of using systematic torture against the protesters. The government promised to hold the culprits accountable for their behavior, but the opposition as well as human rights groups say nothing has changed in regime's treatment of the demonstrators.
It's exactly with what happened with the Bassiouni report. There were so many good things in the report that these are prisoners of conscience, that they have to be freed and immediately, but since November until now, no change, and the situation is the same.
All this happens as the West continues to turn a blind eye to human rights violations in the tiny Persian Gulf kingdom. Bahrain is one of America's closest allies and home to the U.S. Fifth Fleet.
Well, joining me now live from Austin is Mr. Colin Cowell, a former assistant professor of the University of Bahrain. Thank you for being with us, sir. Also joining me live from London, Shahid Qureshi, a journalist and political analyst. Thank you, sir, for being with us. And in Beirut, Dr. Hisham Jaber, director of the Center for Middle East Studies. Thank you, Mr. Jaber, for being with us. My first question to our guest in Austin, Professor Cowell. The Formula One president, in one report I was reading, said quite brazenly, quote, there is nothing happening in Bahrain, it's all very quiet and peaceful. And this has also been said by the Al Khalifa regime. Why are we hearing this?
Well, Homa, when you're paid off with millions of dollars, you will say whatever the regime wants you to say. Bernie Ecclestone is merely a mouthpiece that has been bought and paid for by the Khalifas.
And I guess in London, Mr. Qureshi, what do you think about this? And I'd like to bring in my question here, the statements that have been made by the Obama administration. We had his spokesman saying, and I'm quoting him, that he condemned the violence directed against police and government institutions in Bahrain, as well as the excessive force, he said, and indiscriminate use of tear gas against protesters by the Bahraini security forces. So how do these kinds of statements become accepted by the international community?
Well, the international community has its own agenda, and when you call the international community, I think one should be very careful, because international community does not mean the United States and few other others. There are more than another 200 countries. So if you are specific about that, these countries are are of this opinion, then it will be more clearer to your viewers and to your listeners. I do not see that people all over the world agree with what the United States say most of the times, and most of the times they are correct. What really needs to happen is it is the people are protesting against their own regime, and if it was in Ukraine in Yushchenko's case, so it will be an orange revolution, or if it was somewhere the people we don't like in Syria, or if it was in somewhere Libya, or it's very pick and choose kind of situation. So we don't expect people to be just or give you a fair deal. I mean, it's very unrealistic to expect that. And I think it's about time that the Muslim countries should realize that they need to get their act together. And it's very unfortunate what's happening in Bahrain. I mean, it's a small country, and the rulers are having problems in terms of ruling their own people. I mean, I was giving an example of when the British were ruling the biggest empire in the world. They didn't have these kind of situations. They give empowerment to the people, maybe at the end of their time, but they didn't behave like this. They're like these.
So, Mr. Qureshi, basically what you're saying is the kind of response that we're getting from the international community, we have to make distinctions here. We have to say who has interests, who has benefits, and the reason why they're taking stances on the revolutions in the region. Mr. Jaber, let's put this question to you. What I want to ask here now is what would have happened in Bahrain if there wasn't a support, at least a complicit support for the Bahraini regime by its allies like Saudi Arabia, by the United States? Would that have changed the situation in Bahrain?
Yeah, of course. It's clear the international community, what so-called international community, is the Western countries and allied to the United States, and they have the Arab countries who also related to the United States. Bahrain is different. Everybody knows that. Bahrain is a platform, military platform to the United States, very important as a military base, and it hosts the 5th American Navy and Marines flood. And second, Bahrain is the main gate of Saudi Arabia. Any democracy may happen, or reform, or freedom in Bahrain, it may happen, is considered as a virus or a germ, you know, it will be contagious, and to the Saudi Arabia. And I don't think the Saudis will be happy to see reform, even if the king want to make reform in Bahrain. He is under the pressure of, first, of Saudi Arabia, and second, of United States, before the Americans will be sure about their interest will be protected in Bahrain if the reform may happen. But I think if the Americans will continue supporting the regime without supporting the democracy, which they have a slogan, democracy and freedom and equality and et cetera, et cetera, at the end of the day, the Americans will not win, and they will lose their interest. I think the Americans, it's time now to support, to be at least neutral. The protest in Bahrain is already for 14 months and peaceful protest. They did not use any weapons. They did not make any harm and against the infrastructure, against the government. The opposite, it happened. They had a lot of victims. The promise did promise them to reform, but I think there is another wing on the regime in Bahrain.
Well, Mr. Jaber, you raise some interesting points there that I'll come back to, but one of the points that you raised there, saying that Bahrain is a military platform for the United States, and that brings us to the question of U.S. interests in Bahrain. Colin Cavanagh, I could put this question to you. How important do you think these interests, especially concerning the U.S. Fifth Fleet, are for the United States, and how is that going to affect the U.S. policies? I guess they're in Beirut saying, how long can the U.S. continue with its current policy towards Bahrain? Is it going to ask the Bahraini rulers to hand over power?
Homa, the Bahrain is very important. As former CIA Director Woolsey said, Bahrain is the strategic linchpin of the entire Middle East. That is why the United States utilizes, as the previous doctor said, as a platform to wage the war in Iraq, to supply equipment to Afghanistan, and to wage war in Yemen, etc. This is a very strategic area, and the United States wants to hold on to it. The question they're asking themselves right now is there needs to be some reform in Bahrain. Otherwise, you got three-quarters of the population who want some democratic reform, and the monarchy is not allowing any type of reform. So the United States is asking itself, do we stay with the Khalifas, or do we put some pressure on them? And it cannot go on indefinitely. They know that the situation is deteriorating and there has to be some reform, and yet you have a recalcitrant monarchy, an undemocratic, tyrannical monarchy that does not want to give one inch. And that is why the people are fighting, and they will continue to fight, and they will succeed.
Mr. Qureshi in London, would you agree with this analysis that the Bahraini regime is not independent in its decision makings, that it's being pressured by Saudi Arabia or the US or its allies, for instance, not to engage in dialogue or to continue with this violent crackdown?
Well, I just want to put things in perspective. I mean, these guys who are ruling this small United Arab Emirates and this Bahrain, they were given these areas in the plate. They didn't fight for it. There was no democratic process, or there was no war of independence. These guys, all of a sudden, in one night, they become kings and prince and princesses. So they don't have any experience of statecraft, how to run a state. Now, with greatest of respect for all these rulers in this area, that at least you give breathing space to your own people. And if these people, I mean your own people who you want to rule, they want an administrative change, then give an administrative change, give them administrative freedom. Anything which is linked with the religion, I'm not for that labeling a regime in a Muslim state for a Shia or Sunni could be disastrous. So if there is any administrative reform required in the country, then they should happen. I mean, for example, people are supporting Aung San Suu Kyi, you know, the Western countries are supporting, and for democracy, etc. But at the same time, it's what's happening in Bahrain, and if the countries are not supporting the people, especially the Western countries or the United States, then it becomes that the Muslim country rulers haven't been able to articulate their case intelligently enough, that each time they're just like clay pigeons who could be shot at any time, and they haven't had their roots with the people. And if that trickle-down effect starts from Bahrain, then it can go to other areas as well. It's already started in Tunisia and Egypt. We have seen that happening.
What you're saying here is that there needs to be a political solution for the situation in Bahrain. Mr. Hisham Jabir, if I could put this question to you here. We've not seen any kind of effective dialogue, so to speak, yet take place in the Bahraini situation. And you told us that Bahrain is being pressured not to engage in dialogue. We had an interview with the wife of Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja in the reports today. It looks like Mr. Hisham Jaber cannot hear me right now, so I'll put this question to Mr. Cowell before I come back to Mr. Jaber there. Mr. Cowell, I was explaining there, the wife of Abdul Hadi al-Khawaja, a prominent human rights activist who's on hunger strike, she was saying that the regime is working against itself, that these kinds of crackdowns and oppressions means that this regime is going to sooner or later fall. So why is it, do you think, that this regime is not going towards a political solution and dialogue?
Primarily, Homa, it's arrogance. Arrogance and privilege. The Khalifas have been running the country for 229 years. They believe they are above the rest of the population. They believe the other population, the whole bulk of the population, is there to serve them. Well, on this anniversary of Labor Day, International Labor Day, May Day, the world is telling them, no, we are not here to serve you. In fact, monarchy as a form of government is outdated, It is thrown to the dustbin of history, so be prepared to leave and abdicate because you are no longer wanted here in Bahrain.
In Beirut, Mr. Hisham Jaber, I think you can hear us now. The question that I put to you, I'd like to have your view on this as well. Why is the Bahraini regime not for dialogue when political observers are saying, when the protesters are saying, and everyone that we're hearing is saying that this violence and this crackdown is working against the existence of the regime itself?
Yes, ma'am. I am confident that King Hamad al-Khalifa wants the reform, but he is under pressure from three sides. First, Saudi Arabia, as I told you, they don't want any reform, any democracy in Bahrain because it's not convenient for them, and it will move this democracy or request for democracy, for equality to the Saudi Arabia and especially to the eastern region. Second, the Americans are not sure that giving democracy to the people of Bahrain will ensure, will protect their own interest, because they are using Bahrain, as we said, as an American base, a military base, as a military platform, and it's very important strategically for their operation everywhere, and especially to be near Iran, and also their intervention in Afghanistan, and in that area, Bahrain is the center, is very important.
So, Mr. Jaber, sorry for jumping in. So are you saying that these allies believe that a violent crackdown is the only solution and is actually going to quell these protests and is actually going to bring calm to the crisis in Bahrain? Is that what they believe?
No, I said that the Americans, of course, they don't, they are not sure that they want. They have a slogan to have democracy, but they are not sure if they give democracy to Bahrain, the government, the new government of Bahrain with the democracy may ask them to minimize their presence in that area. And there are, Americans are accusing the protester to be politically pro-Iran. The question is, if Iran is supporting the door protesters, at least Iran should or could give them weapons, for example. Iran is not interfering at all in the problem in Bahrain. And even Iran has the right to be concerned about what's going on in Bahrain. The revolution in Bahrain, the protest in Bahrain is peaceful so far. We are not sure if it will stay like this. People in Bahrain for 1 year, they were asking for reform under the ceiling of the kingdom. And I am not sure now if they will accept this. And they now we start to hear voices. They want to change the whole regime after 14 months of the revolution. Right. And this revolution or this protest is still so far peaceful. And I think the best solution for Bahrain, that the king will make a very brave initiative, for example, and move for dialogue and listen to those people and try to convince his neighbors, Saudi Arabia, for example, and the other Gulf countries, and to tell the United States the only security on the only the peaceful solution and given democracy and the dialogue will solve the problem in Bahrain,
right,
not
Jaber.
The force.
Right. You're telling us, Mr. Jaber, here that you believe the United States or Saudi Arabia are concerned about reforms taking place in Bahrain, are concerned of a democracy in Bahrain because that they think could lead to or could threaten their interests. If I could go to London here now and put this question to Mr. Qureshi. Mr. Qureshi, do you think then that at some point, however, at the end of the day, these allies will be forced to accept that political reform taking place in Bahrain, for instance, like we saw in the case of Egypt, when the United States was basically facing the situation in the hands of the revolutionaries and saying, okay, we also agree that Hosni Mubarak should step down. Do you think that is where the Bahraini revolution is headed to?
Well, can I just, it's a good question. Can I just put things in perspective? The United States is a big country. If they want to attack Iran, or if they had any designs Iran, they are in Afghanistan, they are in Iraq. They don't need Bahrain for any kind of strategic reason. They already occupied the whole of Iraq is under them. The whole of Afghanistan is under them. And as well as there are some, they have bases in the Central Asian countries. So it's probably the self-importance coming from the Bahraini regime itself that they're saying, we are so important to you, the United States, please look after us or keep us. United States is a big country. United States will go with the people today, tomorrow, or day after tomorrow. That is the overall policy of the United States. So it's up to the rulers in Bahraini and in the Saudi regime to be realistic. If there is an administrative or political reform required that is worth doing, then something which is far more difficult for them to manage. If they do make any changes, if they have any kind of fears in their head that the Iranians are going to take over the whole of the region. The Iranians were there for more than 5,000 years. They haven't taken the whole region, and so is the Arabs. So they need to come out of this Iranian-Arab mindset in the subconscious of the people, especially in the ruling classes, that the Iran right. is not a threat to them. And similarly, the Saudis are not threat to the Iranians. So if they have these kind of phobias or fears in their heads, they need to come out of it.
If I may, because we're running out of time, I'd like to give our closing comments to our guest in Austin, Mr. Cavill. I'd like to have your view on what was said there by our guest in London about the U.S. Policy and position. Do you agree with that? And again, do you think that the United States is going to be forced to accept a handover of power in the case of Bahrain?
Omar, Bahrain geopolitically is very different from Iraq, very different from Afghanistan. It's an island nation, and with an island nation, you have a security for your base, and that is why the Fifth Fleet is located in Bahrain. It gives them access to the entire region as well. The Sheikh Isa Air Base in Bahrain, utilized by the American military jets and planes, allows them to bomb everywhere from Iraq to Yemen to Afghanistan. So geopolitically, Bahrain is central to U.S. interests in the area. Secondly, U.S. is, they know that the situation has to change in Bahrain. Right now, what some experts are suggesting is that they're putting Bahrain on a slow burn, trying to drain them and Saudi Arabia of as much military purchases of armaments as possible, because a democratic regime would never need to purchase so much military hardware from anybody. So they're trying to drain them for as much money as possible
right.
before they make substantive fundamental change in the regimes.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid we've run out of time. A big thank you there to Mr. Colin Cavill, former assistant professor of the University of Bahrain, joining us live from Austin. I'd also like to thank Mr. Shahid Qureshi, journalist and political analyst in London, and Mr. Hisham Jaber, director of the Center for Middle East Studies in Beirut. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. And thank you, viewers, for staying with us here on News Analysis. From me, Homa Lezgi, until our next program, it's goodbye.